Hey-o! Final hour of this Thursday morning edition of the Pat Boyle Show here on the Infinity Sports Network. We're with you every Monday through Friday, 2 to 6 a.m. Eastern, 11 p.m. to 3 a.m. Pacific. You can tweet me or find me on Instagram, both at PatBoyle44. We've got some Twitter interaction I want to get to really quickly here before we fire up a Thursday night preview between the Raiders and the Broncos in the AFC West. And we'll get back to your phone calls in about 10 minutes from now. 888-710-4ISN is the number to join the show. That's 888-710-4476. Jake Kinder at Big Jake 33178 tweets, "Love listening to you while I work the night shift. Love that you're not afraid to have an opinion that isn't popular. Hearing the same old opinions are easy. Thanks for the show, man." I appreciate that, Jake. Appreciate you listening, brother. And hope that the night shift is a little kinder to you, pun intended, when you're listening to the show. JD at Don't Be Doubting Me tweets, "Ayo, how did my guy Russ not make this list with that beautiful triple dub?" Yeah, that's a good point. Russell Westbrook triple double and the Kings win over the Warriors. Turning the clock back was Russ. He's now got the most rebounds in NBA history by a guard, by the way. He just surpassed Jason Kidd. So, yeah, shout out Russell Westbrook. And maybe that's a bit unfair for me for excluding him from the list, JD, but such is life. And there you go. So there's a couple of tweets that we've gotten throughout the show. And you can hit me up on Twitter at PatBoyle44. Make sure you vote on the Triple P. Who's Pat's primetime player? We got a good one going right now. The Joker, Jokic, 33 points, 15 rebounds, 16 assists in the Nuggets win over the Heat. He leads the way right now with 37% of the vote. In second place, Spida, Donovan Mitchell, 46 points, 4 rebounds, 8 assists in the Cavs win over the Sixers. He's got 28%. Luka in third with 24% of the vote. 35 points, 13 assists, 5 steals, 2 blocks. No, that's not Wemby's stat line. That's Luka's stat line. He's got 24% of the vote. And then Tyler Bertuzzi, who had a hattie for the Blackhawks. 3 goals in their win over the Canucks. He's got 12%. Okay. Week 10 in the NFL kicks off this week. Week 10. Can you believe it already? And it starts in the AFC West. The 2-6 Raiders go to Mile High to take on the Denver Broncos atop the division at 7-2, undefeated at home. And the Broncos riding right now, Broncos country, let's ride, a 6-game win streak. Wins over Cincinnati, Philadelphia, the Jets, the Giants, the Cowboys, and the Texans. And you got a massive spread in this one, 9.5 points. I don't feel comfortable taking that. We'll do PB picks, as always, to close out the show. I think this is a game that goes under. The total is 42.5. I am expecting this to be a gritty, ugly defensive battle tonight. And it's one where I think Sean Payton is totally happy. And he'll be totally fine with just getting a win, no matter how you can get it. And so I think you get a kind of minimalist approach from the Denver Broncos tonight. I don't think they're going to come out of the gate firing, trying to throw the ball all over the field, even though they have struggled mightily in the first 3 quarters for most of this season. I think this is a game where they're going to want to pound the rock. And if they can get a lead, force Geno Smith into a lot of third and mediums, third and longs, and let their defense dictate this game. Because the Raiders, look, outside of Brock Bowers, the Raiders have no weapons. And that's no disrespect to Ashton Jeanty. He's been great, but, I mean, he gets hit behind the line of scrimmage basically 50% of the time he's got the ball. So it just feels like this is a defensive battle coming tonight on a crisp Thursday fall autumn night in Denver. That's what I'm expecting. But look, as much as the Broncos would love to get off to a fast start, because they've been terrible in the first 3 quarters. How about this? The Broncos have scored 43% of their points this year in the fourth quarter alone. I mean, how many times are they going to play with their food, or how many times are they going to get off to slow starts and then need a miracle fourth quarter comeback? Remember against the Giants, down by 19 points? A miracle to win that game. How could we forget in London against the Jets? They win 13-11. 13-11 against the Eagles. They scored 18 unanswered in the fourth quarter to win that game. And then again on Sunday against the Texans, 11 unanswered in the fourth quarter to win the game. Look, this is not a sustainable strategy for Denver. I like them. I love the Broncos. I picked them to win the AFC West this year. I said they would top the division over the Chiefs. They have been playing with danger far too often this year, and they keep getting away with it. Now, they're playing a mediocre Raiders team, but the schedule's about to tighten up real quick for the Broncos. They're going to have to play the Chiefs twice in the next three games after this. And they could watch that AFC West lead evaporate real quick if the Chiefs sweep them in the two games they play against each other. And with Kansas City coming off the bye next week when they do play Denver, you bet your butt that that's going to be a battle. And I do think that maybe a little bit, as much as Sean Payton and the Broncos will tell you that they're not doing, maybe they're already looking a little bit ahead to Kansas City. And maybe that's why they don't want to put too much on tape. But boy, they could use a fast start for sure. They could absolutely use a fast start. And Bo Nix could use a fast start. Bo Nix is one of only five quarterbacks to throw 20 or more touchdowns this season. But he is part of the problem as to why Denver's gotten off to such slow starts this year. How about this? In the first three quarters of games, Bo Nix has 10 touchdowns, 5 interceptions, and a quarterback rating of 81. In the fourth quarter alone, Bo Nix has 7 touchdowns, 1 interception, and a quarterback rating of 105. Why does Denver continue to get off to slow starts? I have no idea. It is beyond me. It is beyond me why they have to wait until the 11th hour to finally get that offense rolling. And they're lucky they've got such a great defense. Even without Pat Surtain, who's going to miss this game again tonight with that pec strain that he suffered 2 weeks ago, this defense is still elite. I think Nick Benito could be a game wrecker tonight. Same thing with Zach Allen, who was fortunate to avoid more of an injury than what it looked like he might have suffered in that game against Houston. And so I think this defense is going to give the Raiders a ton of problems tonight, and I think it's the defense they're going to ride to the win. I mean, look, we all know Denver needs to start getting off to fast, better starts. Does that mean they will? I don't think so. At least not tonight. At least not tonight. But look, nine and a half points is such a huge spread. I would be shocked if the Broncos do lose this game, because now you got the Raiders coming off of another heartbreaking loss at home on Sunday to the Jaguars in overtime. And Geno Smith played well in that game, but he still is tied with Tua for the league lead in interceptions with 11. And so against an elite defense like Denver, I mean, can't you just see another two or three mistakes coming from Geno tonight? Now that he doesn't have his number one receiver, Jacoby Myers, we know what the game plan is going to be for the Raiders. They're going to try to run the ball with Ashton Jeanty, but that's something that they haven't had a whole lot of success with this year. Like, again, I think Ashton Jeanty's good, but it just goes back to the point that drafting him sixth overall was a mistake. It was a mistake by the Las Vegas Raiders, because you're not a running back away from being a playoff team. And so, to me, they should have built around the offensive line or added more pieces on defense to help out Max Crosby. And instead, it was a mistake to draft Ashton Jeanty. And as good as he is, the Raiders are fourth worst in the NFL in rushing yards per game. So what does that tell you? Like, did you not learn your lesson from the Giants drafting Saquon Barkley or the Jaguars drafting Lenny Fournette years ago? I mean, it's like a tried and true formula. You don't draft a running back in the top 10 picks unless you're drafting with somebody else's pick and you're a playoff caliber team. The Raiders were never going to be that this year. Not in this division. This division's way too good. Way too good. That and the Broncos have a top 10 rushing defense as well. So I just don't expect Jeanty to have a good game. And then they're going to get, not a good game. Just he's not going to run for more than 60, 70 yards probably. And so then that brings us to what's going to happen more often than not is the Raiders are going to be in third and longs, third and sixes, third and eights. And you know who they're going to look for? The best tight end in football, Brock Bowers, who had a monster game coming back from that knee injury and the bone bruise that kept him out for three straight games. He had 12 catches for 127 yards and three touchdowns against the Jags. You think he's going to see bracket coverage, double coverage? You think the Broncos are going to do everything in their power to take him away? Yup. And look, Brock Bowers is good enough that he might rip off one or two big plays anyway. But if the Broncos are able to limit the damage that Brock Bowers can do, well, who are you throwing the ball to? Trey Tucker's now the number one receiver for the Raiders. Trey Tucker, no offense, is not a number one receiver. He's not. And this guy, 3 years in the NFL right now, he hasn't had a season where he's got more than 550 yards. Now, he's on pace to do that this year, but Trey Tucker's not a number one receiver. Tyler Lockett is the number two receiver who, I mean, started the year with Tennessee, and they literally just refused to throw him the football. Now he's with Vegas and only saw one target on Sunday in his Raiders debut. Then they got Jack Beck, or Besh, the rookie from TCU. And so far, he's only got 7 catches on the season. You get my point. There's not a lot of viable options. There's not going to be a lot of separation tonight. So I just don't see how the Raiders are going to score a ton of points in this game. I don't see how the Raiders get to 20 points, let alone maybe even 17. Like, this feels like this is going to be a 23-13 Broncos win or a 27-13 Broncos win. Because I just don't see how the Raiders score. But it's going to be a real test of, can Brock Bowers pull off the unthinkable here? Whereas everybody in the stadium, everybody on the Denver Broncos side knows that he's the number one option, that they're going to try to target him 15 times tonight. And so are they going to be able to stop him? I know, like I said, Pat Surtain's injury, Denver's defense is still great without him, but it is going to play a difference. Because when Pat Surtain is on the field, the Broncos play man coverage nearly 50% of the time. That is more than almost any other team in the league. And when you have the best defensive player in all of football, he won the Defensive Player of the Year award last year. Like, don't let me tell you. Let the award speak for itself. They can play man coverage across the board. On Sunday, without Pat Surtain against the Houston Texans, the Broncos only played man coverage about 27% of the time. So that's a stark difference. So if you do see a lot more zone tonight, like, Brock Bowers knows how and where to get into those open spots on the field. But like I said, you could see zone and you could see bracket coverage where, like, if it's cover two across the middle, you know Sean Payton and the Denver Broncos defense are going to say, okay, it's cover two, but, you know, basically cling towards Brock Bowers. So if they're, again, if they're able to take Brock Bowers out of the equation, I just don't see any way the Raiders are able to consistently score points in this game. But I do think that Denver has one eye already looking towards next week in a massive showdown with the Chiefs. And I don't think Sean Payton wants to put a ton on tape. And maybe that's enough for the Raiders to hang around in the first half. That coupled with the fact that Denver has been a slow starting team all year. And maybe the Raiders, you know, they can hang in for a bit here, make this game interesting. And who knows, maybe Geno Smith picked up a ton of confidence in that game on Sunday against Jacksonville. You know, despite the fact that the Raiders had 9 points after the third quarter, then both teams exploded in the fourth. But I think in all likelihood, Geno probably throws another interception or two, and the Raiders maybe score one touchdown at most in this game. 888-710-4ISN, 888-710-4476. We'll have picks for this game in about 30 minutes from now to finish the show, but I want to get back to your phone calls. I appreciate Thomas in Dallas holding on. I grabbed him a little bit too late at the end of last hour, and so I want to go back to him here. Thomas, you're back up on the Pat Boyle Show, my man. What's going on?
What's going on, Pat, man? I'm glad to be on your show. Hey, well, listen, real quick, my first thought with the new acquisition of Williams, you know what I'm saying? Yeah, it's a little too late seen him play in any game, so you really don't know. And you know, if they're able to produce some pressure, then I can see them being able to play some man coverage on the back end.
I don't know if you want to play man coverage with this secondary, but I get what you're saying.
Yeah, right. But you know, with Matt Eberflus, he's stuck on zone coverage. But at the same time, you know, what else does he have? He don't have the personnel on the back end to play man. You know, just like even who's that? Number 26. Man, come on, man, help me out, man. I'm driving right now, but he got torched.
You talking about Deron Bland?
Deron Bland got torched, man, by Harrison.
Oh, man, he got his ankles broken, and they showed CeeDee Lamb after that, basically going, torched,
And real quick about Dak Prescott, man, hey, man, you win and lose games on the line, brother. And with this line, I'm not sold on this line, brother. You know what I'm saying? And when Dak gets hit in the mouth, when he gets hit in the mouth early and often, man, he just come unglued, man. And, you know, it's like he has the ability to change the call plays, man. I mean, you know, take care of your business, brother. You know what I'm saying? I believe in you. But until I see it come to fruition, man, that you're able to make game-changing plays, man, at the moment when you need a game-changing play, man, come on, man. Just like Flo said, kiss my grits.
Thomas, I appreciate the call. Yeah, look, the offensive line did struggle. I mean, Josh Sweat felt like I saw Josh Sweat do his little sweat celebration four or five times on Monday night because he was in the backfield all game long. Cowboys offensive line struggled big time with the blitz packages that Nick Rallis, the Cardinals defensive coordinator, was throwing at them. And so I don't put much of the blame at all on Dak for Monday night. He was constantly under duress. Constantly under pressure. I think Dak has been great this year, and I think the duo and the trio, I should say, of him, CeeDee Lamb, and George Pickens, it's fed families. It's been electric. And the run game's actually been surprisingly good with Javonte Williams. This isn't the offense. We know what the issues are with Dallas. It's on the defense. And that's why I like that Jerry went and made the trade for Quinnen Williams, a guy that was a first-team All-Pro 3 years ago. Can he get back to that level? You're hoping. Otherwise, yeah, the trade won't be a good trade for you, and you'll have given away a first-rounder and a second-rounder for a guy that has passed his prime already at the age of 27. And Matt Eberflus, I mean, yeah, I know, he doesn't have the personnel. Trayvon Diggs has not been available this year. Jerry Jones flat-out called him out. He said he needs to get better shape. Deron Bland, he did have the one pick six, but other than that, he has gotten consistently torched this year, and the whole country saw it on Monday night. And that and the injuries haven't helped out either. The injuries haven't helped you out, especially your safeties. Donovan Wilson's been hurt. Malik Hooker's on IR. And so it's been a struggle. They've been an atrocity, this Cowboys defense. And I certainly don't think Eberflus has helped out either. I think his scheme has, everybody knows it. That's a lot of zone coverage, and you're not getting pressure. But hopefully Quinnen Williams can help alleviate some of that, getting pressure up the middle, being the good run stopper that he's been most of his career. And I like the veteran Logan Wilson. I think he's going to bring some respectability to this linebacking core that so desperately needs DeMarvion Overshown back, because you got a bunch of Jags in the linebacking core right now. Just a guy. That's, you can't stop the run again. It's been the same issue for years. Let's get to ZB, who's in Arizona, next up on the Pat Boyle Show. ZB, what's going on?
Hey, Pat, how are you?
Doing good, man. How are you?
Hopefully I'm all right. I want to throw a trade by you. I thought before the deadline it would have been kind of an interesting trade, maybe after the season. Let me give you all the elements of it, and then I want to hear what you have to say about it. So I believe that these two quarterbacks in a new city, new setting, could both do better. Trade Tua to the Cardinals for Kyler Murray. And as far as the differences in the contract, Kyler has two more years left in the deal. Next year, there's only like a $3 million difference in terms of their cap hit. And so whatever the difference is, the Dolphins can pay off whatever the difference is. So as far as their contracts are concerned, it really doesn't play a role. Mm-hmm. But as far as Tua versus Kyler, I think that both teams have clearly, I think, realized that Tua in Miami is probably not going to be the future, and Kyler in Arizona is not going to be the future. As far as Tua is concerned, I think he throws a better ball than Kyler does. He doesn't have, obviously, the all-around game, but going to Arizona, I think, would work well for him. As a smaller city, he has the opportunity to have Marvin Harrison Jr. and whoever else they pick up. They'll probably pick up another receiver going into next season, and he gets a new start. And it, as far as contractually, it's no different than what they're going to be paying Kyler Murray. Those differences when they make the trade, and I think he brings something that Kyler doesn't, that the Cardinals actually could benefit from, because I think their defense continues to grow and continues to get better and is good enough. Jacoby Brissett is what he is. He's played well. He's shown he's been better than Kyler Murray. I just don't think he's the future of the team. And Tua, I think, might bring some solidifying factor in that regard. If not, they're not losing anything. They could just still let go of Tua, just like they let go of Kyler Murray after next season, and have the same cap hit, like, I mean, because they work out the contract. So they're not losing anything in that regard. As far as Kyler Murray in Miami, Kyler Murray brings a different dynamic to the Dolphins they haven't had. They get a fresh start. He's somebody that I think would maybe do better in Miami with the supporting cast that he has in Miami. And as far as the team is concerned, Quinn Ewers, we don't know what he's going to do. They got to give him some playing time. They got to give him some starts to evaluate him for next season. Mm-hmm. But having either of these guys, even if it's just as a stopgap, but to have them now and see how they do better. New, so they want to say another thing. Both of them actually do better in the other conference. Tua's record's better against NFC teams, and Kyler Murray's career record is better against AFC teams. So I think it works well for both teams. And they don't really lose anything out of it, because financially, in terms of the contracts, as they work it out, it ends up being the same for both teams.
Yeah, hey, ZB, I appreciate that proposal, and that was really well thought out. I think it's incredibly highly unlikely to happen, though, if I'm being honest. I mean, let's just talk about, one, what the Miami Dolphins have going on. They just fired their GM, Chris Greer. They got an interim in Champ Kelly. We have no idea if Mike McDaniel is still going to be around at the end of the season. So you're going to have a new GM, you potentially will have a new head coach, and is the first move they're going to make a trade for Kyler Murray? To me, that's highly unlikely. Highly unlikely. Even if Mike McDaniel stays, his system, his offensive system, relies around a pocket passer. And we have seen over the last couple of years, Kyler Murray is not that. He's not that. He would struggle maybe more in Miami than he has struggled in Arizona. I don't think, if that's in Mike McDaniel stays as the head coach, I just don't see that happening. What you talked about with the contracts, you know, again, Tua's dead cap money next year is $99 million, whereas Kyler Murray's is only $42 million. So there is a decently sizable difference there. Now, again, if you're trading for each other, you know, can you say, all right, hey, can one team, you know, would Arizona take on more of Tua's contract than Miami would be taking on for Kyler's? You know, possibly. I just don't think, like, you're trading away two undesirables at this point. I think both teams would be better off just starting fresh and drafting a quarterback rather than trading for, like, one man's trash is another man's treasure. This is like one man's trash is another man's trash. I just don't see it happening. Tua in Arizona, I think, actually could work, because the way that Drew Petzing's offense is working right now with Jacoby Brissett, like, Tua just, they can get protection for him. Being able to get the ball out quickly to Marvin Harrison, get the ball out quickly to Trey McBride, I agree with you that it probably would work. He'd probably look better than he does right now in Miami, but I don't know by how much. So I it was well thought out. I don't want to shoot it down. I think the chances of that happening, though, 1 in a million. All right, we do have to take a break. We've got some folks that want to weigh in on the Raiders and this Raiders-Broncos game tonight. We'll get back to your phone calls when we come back. And we'll also crown a champion for the Triple P. Get your final votes in for Pat's primetime player. Is it Jokic? Is it Luka? Is it Spida, Donovan Mitchell? Or is it Tyler Bertuzzi? This thing is close. So get to my Twitter right now if you haven't already, at PatBoyle44. Get your vote in. And also, when we come back, the No Fun League strikes again. We had the two pumps celebration on Sunday. It has now been met with a $15,000 fine. Come on, man. I'll explain if you don't know what I'm talking about when we come back. This is the Pat Boyle Show.
Wake up! The Pat Boyle Show is back on the Infinity Sports Network.
Welcome back to the show. Almost Friday, baby. We got football tonight. We got, if you're not watching, Broncos Raiders. You got plenty of more hoops tonight. College hoops in full swing. You got plenty of puck to digest. But we've got football tonight, baby. Let's go. And then it's Friday, and then the weekend is here. You've almost earned yourself a weekend. Keep going. Keep going. All right, it's time to crown a champion. Who is tonight's Triple P? Pat's primetime player. In fourth place, 15% of the vote, Tyler Bertuzzi of the Chicago Blackhawks. He had a hat trick as the Blackhawks beat the Canucks 5-2. In third place with 19% of the vote, Luka Doncic, 35 points, 13 assists, 5 steals, 2 blocks, 9 rebounds. Lakers come from behind to beat the Spurs. In second place with 28% of the vote is the 3-time MVP, the Joker. Nikola Jokic with another nuclear performance, 33 points, 15 rebounds, 16 assists. Bam Adebayo left this game early with an injury, and Jokic decided, oh, I'm going to cook. And the Nuggets beat the Heat. But in first place, with 38% of the vote, was this man.
Who is Pat's primetime player?
Dyson, smart play. Backs up on the dribble and hands it off to Mitchell. 6 on the clock. Mitchell with a stutter step. Shot put. Scores! There's his first 40-point piece of the year. Donovan Mitchell makes it 116-90. 40 for Mitchell tonight.
Yeah, the Spider. That's courtesy of Cavs Radio Network. 46 points, 4 rebounds, 8 assists he finishes with as the Cavs pull away from the Sixers late in this one. They beat him 132-121. He outdueled the red-hot Tyrese Maxey in this game, who still had a pretty darn good performance. He put up 27 points, 9 assists, and 7 rebounds. But it was Donovan Mitchell, 38% of the vote. He is tonight's Triple P. He's Pat's primetime player. Congrats to Spida. Congrats to Donovan Mitchell. Okay, before we get back to your phone calls, I just want to tell you guys about a story. Now, I don't know if you saw this. Maybe you made the, you know, if you're on social media, you probably saw it. If you were watching Red Zone on Sunday, you saw it. If you're a Panthers fan, you saw it. Rico Dowdle scores the touchdown against the Green Bay Packers on Sunday to put Carolina up late in the third quarter. And then he hits the two pump celebration. Now, for those of you saying, what the hell is the two pump celebration? Well, that's exactly what you think it is. Two pelvic thrusts. And it's an ode to one of the great Key and Peele sketches of all time, the great comedy show Keegan Michael Key and Jordan Peele. And the one sketch they did where it was like, how many pumps is too many pumps? Where the guy does 3 pelvic thrusts and you got the referee, which is Jordan Peele, staring right at his crotch. And as soon as he hits the 3rd pelvic thrust, unsportsmanlike conduct, too many pumps, right? And so 2 pumps was okay. 3 wasn't. Rico Dowdle does 2 pumps with some of his other Panthers teammates and still gets flagged for it. Gets flagged for unsportsmanlike conduct. Adam Amin, by the way, that was on the Fox broadcast, he did a tremendous job right away talking about it. Okay, not only does he get on sportsmanlike conduct, Rico Dowdle posts on social media last night that they fined him. And you got some people reporting that it was a fine of $15,000. NFL, no fun league. Now, the story could have been there, and it would have been, you know, me just yelling about the NFL being no fun league, and how the hell did Rico Dowdle get fined for something that really isn't that egregious, right? I mean, let's not forget the Super Bowl performance at halftime years ago. Janet Jackson literally got, you know, Justin Timberlake flashed her to hundreds of millions of Americans. Rico Dowdle does a very harmless two pump celebration, and he gets fined $15,000. Now, I know that that's pennies to him, but it's the principle, damn it. If he did three pumps, I get it. Two pumps is not enough to warrant a $15,000 fine. So Rico Dowdle tweets, starting a GoFundMe, they got me. And now what, this has turned into a really cool story. So Rico Dowdle said that he is starting a GoFundMe and using his fine money to help donate to a good cause. And that all the money will be directed to the Children's Home Society of North Carolina. As of Wednesday night, so about 6, 7, 8 hours ago, they had already raised nearly $10,000 on top of the $15,000 that he got fined. And so Rico Dowdle has turned this into a really cool situation, giving back to the community of Charlotte and of North Carolina. And maybe now in the future he knows, maybe it's just one pump. Maybe it's no pumps. Maybe no pumps allowed. No pelvic thrusts for touchdowns. Can't have fun. No fun allowed. So there you go. Okay, let's get to a phone call here. Justin in Illinois, next up on the Pat Boyle Show. Justin, what's going on?
Hey, Pat. How you doing this morning, man?
Doing good, brother. How are you?
Hey, I'm good. Hey, first off, good call on the Hingle McCringleberry celebration. That's kind of ridiculous.
That's it. It was Hingle McCringleberry. That's what it was. You're right. That's tremendous. Good recall by you.
It's three pumps on the flag, right?
Yep.
So just to touch on the Raiders and their kind of depleted roster, it goes like further back than Ashton Gentry at the 6. You can go back when they took Clelin Ferrell at the 4. They took Damon Arnett. He was a top 20, I think 19th, somewhere in there. And that's why they've just consistently missed, in my opinion. And now there's all these talks about Max Crosby being traded. You can't trade him. Like, he's your dude.
No, he doesn't want to be traded. He doesn't want to be traded. I give Max Crosby a ton of credit. He loves it. I don't know why. He loves Vegas. He does not want to be traded. I think he really does want to be a Raider for life. I give him a lot of credit, man.
What do you mean you don't know why he loves Vegas?
Yeah, same here. Like, he's a centerpiece. He's someone that you can build a team around. But it's just a consistent misses. Mike Mayock kind of, I feel like he was he had a good eye for talent. But in the draft room, I don't feel like he was there. So with the Raiders, you know, tonight, I'm not expecting much. Longtime Raider fan. If they can keep it to within 2 scores, that'd be great. But yeah, I think it starts with the GM. You got to find someone that knows what they're doing in the draft room and has a good eye for talent.
Yeah, I appreciate the call, Justin. Now, look, John Spytek, who's the new GM there, coming over from the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, where he was the assistant GM for the last 2 years, and he was with the Bucs for about a decade. You know, I thought that was a good hire, and I think the Buccaneers are an organization that has done it the right way, and that they have proven that they have gone through Jameis Winston to Tom Brady to Baker Mayfield, always draft great defensive players, always do well in free agency, always have a good offensive line, and have good receivers. So I want to believe in John Spytek, and I don't know how much Mark Davis factored into this. I don't know how much Tom Brady factored into this. And I don't know how much John Spytek, if he was told, hey, Pete Carroll's going to be our head coach, whoever he wants to draft in the first round, you got to do it, man. Like, it's the only way he's coming here to coach this team. And it could have been more desperation from Mark Davis. It absolutely 100% could have been that. And maybe he got handcuffed into taking Ashton Gentry. Because maybe Pete Carroll said, I'm only coming if you guys draft a running back. I want a run game. And if Geno Smith's going to be my quarterback, I need a young running back. I love the kid from Boise State. Get me Genty. And maybe that's what happened. I don't know. But it's been proven time and time again, if you're not a playoff caliber team, and I have no idea. I mean, Mark Davis, it wouldn't surprise me if he delusionally thought he had a playoff team on his hand. I don't know what kind of role Brady had. I mean, we know he was involved somewhat in the draft process. It just doesn't make sense. You were clearly the worst team in that division. Clearly. Why are you drafting a running back sixth overall? Have you not learned from the Giants and the Jaguars' mistakes just in the last couple of years? So, I mean, I agree. Until they start figuring out how to consistently draft good players, it's not going to work out for them. Now, again, last year, Bowers was an amazing pick at 13. It was an amazing pick. But even in just the last 2 years, there's not much else to really get excited about on this roster. There's not. They got a long way to go, man. I would build this thing from the inside out. I'd focus on the offensive line and the defensive line before I go anywhere else in the near future with their drafts. And you got Max Crosby. I think Malcolm Kuntz is also a nice player. But, I mean, right now, you got Jamal Adams suiting up for you. Jamal Adams has basically been tossed to the curb by several of the teams. He is in a starting spot on your defense right now. That's an issue. That's an issue. 888-710-4ISN, the phone number to join the show. 888-710-4476. All right, we'll finish up with PB picks when we come back. Me and KP the Dream, Chris Persiani, will give out some bets for Raiders-Broncos tonight, Thursday Night Football. I've got a total pick, I've got a player prop, I've got a touchdown, and I've got a quarterback prop for you. So I got a lot of good stuff cooking in the hopper when we come back here on the Pat Boyle Show on the Infinity Sports Network. Final update of the morning. Here is Marco Belletti.
The PB boys are making you cash.
Whoa, 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 whoa.
It's PB Picks.
All righty, let's recap. What was a mighty fine day last night for yours truly in the NBA? Pete the Body said, I'm going load management. I'm taking the night off. Second straight day. He's really managing his load. And so I gave out four picks. And I said, when it came to the Cavs and the Sixers game, I said, look, there's probably a pretty good chance Joel Embiid gets ruled out here. They're really going to play him a back-to-back night. And so yesterday morning around this time, I said, give me the Cavs -9.5. That spread went to 11.5. They won by 11. Hopefully you jumped on early. Cavs -9.5 was a cash. Celtics -11.5 was a cash. Despite the fact they trailed by double digits in the second quarter to the Wizards, they blow them out of the building. Ja Morant under 22.5 points, the gift that keeps giving. I think he's completely disengaged, wants no part of being in Memphis. And then Wemby, over 40.5 points and rebounds. That one never came close, got into foul trouble. Los Angeles, the Lakers did a really good job of defending him. So 3-1 for yours truly. The record now since football season started, 107-87, a healthy 20 games above 500. Pete the Body is returning to action tonight. He's six games over 500. He's got one pick, Bo Nix, 220-plus passing yards. I've got four picks. I like the under in this one. I said it before. You can go back and listen on the Odyssey app, top of the 5 a.m. Eastern hour. I think this is a gritty defensive battle. I don't see how the Raiders score more than 17 points in this game, if they even get there. And I think the Broncos already have one eye looking next week towards Kansas City. I think they're going to want to run the ball and then try to take the air out of the game in the second half. Give me under 42.5. Give me R.J. Harvey, the rookie running back from UCF, to continue to do what he has done well, and that is carve out a role in this Broncos offense. And I like R.J. Harvey to go over 12.5 receiving yards tonight. He's done that in all but three games this year, and I think he can get that done on one catch. I also like R.J. Harvey to score another touchdown. He's got four of them in the last three games. R.J. Harvey touchdown at +205. And then finally, Geno Smith under 209.5 passing yards. I just don't see how he's able to throw against this Broncos defense. I would have taken him to throw a pick, but it's way too pricey. So There you go. Four picks for me. Raiders, Broncos under 42.5. R.J. Harvey over 12.5 receiving yards for Denver. And to score a touchdown at plus 205. And Geno under 209.5 passing yards. KP the Dream, Chris Persianen, what do you like tonight in this game?
You said his name earlier with very little conviction. Jack Besh. Besh. We got like four different pronunciations probably possible.
Get in, Besh. You're getting eight passes tonight.
Anytime touchdown plus 1,100.
Woo!
Geno really needs to get it together. What do quarterbacks do when they need an easy, safe option? They go to their safety valve. For some teams, that's Christian McCaffrey. For most teams, it's the tight end. Give me Besh, 1,100.
Okay. You were saying earlier you like the Raiders maybe to cover this spread. Are you still feeling spicy with that?
Yeah, but it's not as spicy as Besh.
Okay. Besh it is.
Bechamel.
Bechamel. The second round rookie. All right. Thank you to Chris Persianen. Thank you to Mark Obeletti. We'll be back here tomorrow to talk about Raiders Broncos and get you set for a massive weekend of football. 2 a.m. Eastern tomorrow. This is the Pat Boyle Show.